is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning and to be here to celebrate Father's Day. We're believing God to touch and minister to you here today. We will not be having church tonight. This is a tradition on Mother's Day, Father's Day. We give you the afternoon off to go spend with your family. And we do want you to do that, to go find time to spend with your family and let God bless you. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Going to read verses 41 through 56. Or 41 through 42 and then 49 through 56. I won't read the whole thing. We'll give you a little break. Amen. You do need to go home and read some of this afterwards. Sometimes when you hear people preach, take what we use and then read all of it and get it in context. And maybe God will give you thoughts that'll go along with my thoughts and you'll learn more from it. Amen. Glory. We want God to bless this morning. Touch. If you're a father, we're glad to have you. If you're a mother, we're glad to have you. If you're not a father yet, we're praying for you. Everybody ought to have to be a dad once. Amen. The Bible tells in Luke chapter 8, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." And the 49th verse said, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered and saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maiden, arise. And her spirit became again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And the parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Spirit. God, minister to us. Use me today, God, as an oracle of your divine presence. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you just reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here today." Amen. Some of you may notice, if you look over in the back where the high grass is, that some of it has been cut. I was doing a good job till a rat jumped on my leg, and then I decided that grass wasn't getting cut no more. Amen. I was back there riding through cutting, and I seen a bunch of rats run out from under the front of the lawnmower, headed out toward the creek, and all of a sudden something hit my leg, and I looked down. I ain't talking about no field mouse. I'm talking about a rat was laying on my leg, hanging on for dear life, and I gave her the lawnmower for a minute. Oh. Amen. Y'all have a problem with that? Go cut the grass. Amen. It is so good to see you here today. I want to talk to you for just a little while. Since it's Father's Day, I thought I'd take a little different angle of this story. Jairus had a daughter. I want to talk to you this morning about what Jairus' daughter saw in her dad. Amen. Now, there's some things we know about him. Of course, the thing about it is we're talking about a young lady. We don't even know her name. All we know is she's Jairus' daughter. Amen. You know, they folk get upset about that. I remember when I come up in the world, I used to get upset because everybody said I was Freddie's brother. Amen. That's my brother. I kept telling somebody, I ain't him. I'm Ken. My name's Ken. Remember that. I mean, for years later, I'd run into people and said, "Hey, you Freddie Stroop?" I said, "No, I'm Ken. I'm the baby." Oh, you know, people like to be known by the names, but according to history, we don't ever have this girl's name. Everywhere she's listed, she's just Jairus' daughter. But I think she had a dad that was something special to some extent. And I wanted to talk about him a little bit. When you read about him, you know, you find out some things about it and about the concern he had for his little girl. Number one, he was a ruler of the synagogue. Those of you know what that meant. He was probably a priest or a high priest, most likely the top dog in town, in a place called Capernaum. Now, it's a little bitty place. It's a city over on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the one thing Capernaum's noted for is narrow streets. I never forget when we were there. That was some of those narrow streets. Even though most of the city was gone, you could see the streets. And to be honest with you, the old towns back in those days didn't have big streets like we see sometimes in movies. I know you go through old town Jerusalem, you can reach out on both sides and touch the side of the street. And in Capernaum, they were even a little bit narrower than that. And when you walked through town, you had to scrunch up to get through town. It wasn't these big roads you walked on. But he was the head of that synagogue, and he was a ruler there. And he goes down, the Bible tells us, and took care of everything. He operated the synagogue. He overseed who was going to speak and done all those kind of things. But the big thing, he's also very well known in a community. See, that's the great thing about being a preacher in a community. Folks get to know you. I don't know why it is, but people don't even go to church want to know the preachers in case trouble comes. Oh, hello? Amen. And you know, the great thing about it is if you understand that, you understand when you're in a community, you have an obligation to live like a preacher. Live like a Christian so that they understand who you are. Hello? Now, it's not just a preacher. Since every one of you that are born again are considered priests, maybe you ought to think about that. You need to live in your community so folks know you are somebody that is living for God, and so they understand you are a godly person. Come on, church. That's pretty good stuff. Amen. And now, church, he lived in such a way that everybody in the community knew him. Amen. And it's very possible he heard Jesus speak somewhere in one of the synagogues, but somehow, some way in the city of Capernaum, Jesus' reputation had preceded him. Amen. And here this guy is coming into the crowd. Now, we know Jesus' reputation preceded him because when he comes to Capernaum and lands, folk find out he's coming and they have packed the seashore. There is everybody that you can think of. There are Christians, there are Jews, there are people there because they're waiting to see what this man who has become known as the man of God, amen, who has become known to many as rabbi, they're coming to see what's going to happen. Now, I had a young man telling me the other day, he was telling me some stuff about how to make a church grow, and he handed me this book on 7 steps to church growth, and I looked at the book and read the guy that wrote it, and I said, you know the thing I know about this guy? He said, what's that? I said, he never built a church. I said, you know, you're reading a fella ain't never done it, just read somewhere, wrote a book about it, now you paid money for it. Come on, church. That's as dumb as going to a marriage counselor that ain't never been married. I'm serious. We have one in Tuscaloosa. She was a school teacher, didn't make it at that. Wasn't she, Alex? He was her teacher. She actually been engaged 4 times, never got married, but she became a marriage counselor. I seen her one day. I said, boy, what could you counsel me with? She said, I can teach you what I've learned in the books, how to stay married. I said, look, there's a couple in view been married 60-something years. If I need to know something, I go ask them. They got a good way of how it's done. Come on, church. Amen. This old boy was showing me about how to make a church grow, and I said, you know, I done figured out something. If we just quit trying to make the church grow and just get back to the place where we worship God and get stuff happening, I think folks will start coming out where something's happening. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'll be honest with you. When I read about this, they didn't have leaflets out. They wasn't flyers running around. They hadn't been announcing for months, but word got around. Hey, that dude that was preaching tonight, they let a guy down through the roof, and the man got off his bed. He'd been in all his life and walked home. Amen. You know, that's the same guy that healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, next time you tell me a priest can't be married, ask any Catholic how come the first pope's mama lived. He had a mother-in-law. Come on, church. It's in the Bible. Peter was over there. She was sick. Jesus laid hands on her. She got healed and cooked for him. Amen. Now, church, all of this happened in Capernaum. And all of a sudden, this word's got around. This is a dude did that. We going to see what's going on. Can I tell you, if we start having God really do something in the house of the Lord and we start seeing a move of God, we ain't got to worry about 7 steps to church growth. All we got to do is figure out where we're going to put them. And I believe with all my heart that if we'll get back to the place we'll worship God, spirit, and in truth, we can see a move of God that'll draw our loved ones in and see people's lives changed. But now, just because he was a ruler of the synagogue didn't take away the fact he was a dad. And because he was a dad, we understand some things about him. What do you suppose Jairus' daughter saw in her dad? She saw a man that's prominent in the community. But she also Wonder if she thought he's a little old fashioned, out of touch with my generation. Hello? I get kids tell me, say, welcome to the 21st century. Well, I got news for you. The 21st century ain't no different than the 20th century or the 19th century. We just changed the way we decide things. Come on, church. When I was a kid, I thought my daddy was the dumbest man ever walked on the face of the earth. I mean, he didn't know nothing. He'd be telling me stuff, and I'd sit there going, yeah, right, daddy. It don't work that way no more. Hello? Come on, all y'all nod your heads. You know you was not heads like I was. I mean, I thought I knew the world. I even kind of rubbed him one day because he was sitting there telling me something, and I said, Dad, I make more money than you do. I mean, I was 18 years old. I was a manager at Gaffer's department store. I was on a salary making more money than he was. He'd been at that place 20-something years, and he's trying to tell me how to live, and I'm thinking, I'm wearing you out already. Glory. Hello? My daddy told me, boy, you need to save some of that money. I said, why? I'm just going to make that much more. I had thought the time I was 30, I'd be a millionaire. I want y'all to know I'm working on my third million now. I gave up on the first two. I never got them. Glory. This one's already in trouble. Hello? You know, my dad passed away in 1979. I'd been married about 4 years at the time. And you know, my daddy's still getting smarter. Because I began to find out he wasn't as dumb as I thought he was. Because the older I get, the more I realize he knew more about what I thought he knew about when they was talking to me. He knew what he was trying to tell me. I was just too dumb to listen. And now I realize I wish he was still around so he could tell me some stuff and help me out sometime. Come on, church, nod your head. I ain't going to get no amen from these teenagers because they ain't woke up yet. That light's still off in the pantry. Glory. Amen. But one day they'll open that door and there'll be a new can up there for them to open. They'll go, oh my God, he knew what he's talking about. Because I woke up one morning and all of a sudden I had bills to pay. I had money going out the window fast and I get a hold of. And I'm sitting there going, you know, my dad was right. I should have saved some of that money I was blowing on stuff that wasn't real back then. And I'd have been a lot better off now. Come on, church, not yet. You know, and I wonder sometimes if she connected with her dad like that. But the truth of the matter is, she had a dad who was really a dad. Because let me tell you something. When it came time for his daughter, he didn't matter what he believed religiously. All he knew was there's a guy right over here got an answer. You say, what are you talking about? He's a Jew. He does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But he really don't care anymore. He's willing to believe in whatever he's got to believe in because his daughter's dead and dying. And he don't want to get her into the grave at 12 years old. And so he goes down to the front where everybody's at, kneels in front of Jesus and begins to worship him and pray homage to him, saying, Lord, my daughter's grievously bad. You may not get that, but that's important. Amen. Now let me ask you something. What do you think she saw in her dad? First of all, I think she saw a dad who was not ashamed to see Jesus. The 41st verse said, and behold, there came a man. Glory. This man went looking for Jesus. What did Jairus' daughter see in her father? He didn't come in the darkness like Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, went to Jesus, but he made sure there's a private viewing. He goes in the middle of the night when ain't nobody going to see him because he don't want to lose his job. He's worried about income. He's worried about what people will think about him. But notice this man, Jairus. He goes down in the public in the middle of the morning. Jesus is getting off the boat. Remember what I told you? There's hundreds of people there. It ain't no little unknown place. He pushes his way through the crowd. I mean, there's everybody there. There's rich people, poor people, fat people, skinny people. There's religious folks. There's people that ain't never been to church. There's probably people following Baal. All they know is there's a man showing up who's able to heal the sick, who's able to do a work in their life. And Jairus comes through, but because of the way he's dressed, they part and let him through the crowd. And then their mind gets totally blown because this man Jairus kneels right there in front of God and everybody and says, hey, I don't care about my job. I don't care about what it's going to cost. All I know is my daughter's sick and you got answers and I need you to come to my house and I need you to touch my daughter and I need you to bring her out. Church, let me tell you something. Some of us need to get rid of what I was raised on and how I believe and get in this book and say, God, I don't care what I got to believe. I want to believe that book because I know it has the answer to life in this world. Dumbest thing I ever heard. Somebody says, I don't believe it that way. I learned real quick, change the way I believed. I wasn't raised Pentecostal until I got to be Pentecostal. Hello? I didn't believe in healing until I saw healing. Come on, church, nod your head. I wasn't raised to believe in that. Listen, there was a multitude of people in book Mark, the 5th chapter, the 21st verse. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. Notice something. He came himself. He didn't send an emissary. He didn't send his wife. See, some of y'all still ain't caught the fact that he could be stoned to death for what he's doing. Because this has branded him a heretic to everybody in the church. But he don't care. Because I got a daughter who's dying. We've tried everything. The doctors have thrown up their hands. The insurance has run out. Hello? And now I'm desperate. And when you get desperate, you start seeking answers and you don't really care what you got to do to get the answer. Come on, church. You know what's wrong with most people in the church? What can I do and still be a Christian instead of what have I got to do to be a Christian? Come on, church. We want to know what we can get by with and still claim we're somebody. I want to tell you something, friend. I want to know what I got to do to stay as close to him as I possibly can. Because if I walk in his presence, I got a better chance of making it. Could you say amen? Amen. Oh, that we had dads that would seek Jesus and not be ashamed. That they would take their priestly responsibility in the home. Hello? Amen. You know, America's got problems. And let's face it, the homes have got problems. One of the biggest problems they got is a person in charge ain't who they're supposed to be. Amen. Come on, church. If we, the fathers, would take the priestly responsibility to be the Christian fathers we're supposed to be, there wouldn't be as much trouble. Amen. Hello? That's good preaching. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? We got dads that'll work 80 hours a week to provide the kids with cell phones and nice clothes and cars, but they won't spend 2 hours a week in church with them. And then they don't understand why them kids don't live right and why they won't go where they need to go and do the things they need to do. Come on, church. Hey, man, I'll be honest with you. I would have rather my dad spent 2 hours in church with me on Sunday than to have gave me everything I wanted when I was a kid. And I got nothing because he didn't have it even though he worked. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. Y'all may not understand this. I was raised by a backslidden Methodist preacher. Oh, come on, church. Amen. That our fathers would see Jesus without reservation, they'd seek him boldly. What a difference it made. Secondly, she saw a man who was not ashamed to bring Jesus to his house. Verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. The Bible tells us he begged him to come with him. Notice the events that followed when the whole crowd went. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, church, notice this. I won't throw this in. It won't cost you nothing. But Jesus didn't look at him and say, now, you ain't my denomination. Ain't nothing aggravates me more than to ask the preacher something and he start telling me what denomination he is instead of answering the question. I was preaching a camp meeting last summer. Somebody come up and said, you know, this is one of the goofiest things I've ever seen in my life. Got a Baptist leading the music. It's a Methodist camp meeting. They got a Pentecostal preacher and had a Catholic show up one night and give his testimony. I told him, I said, it really don't matter as long as we're Christians. Hello? Come on, church. Not yet. I seen that Catholic dancing when I laid hands on him and the Spirit got on him. And I'm going, hey, he's my kind of Catholic. Oh, come on, church. Amen. I preached a revival in a Catholic church. I told him, I said, you know me? He said, yeah, I know you. I've been to Brownsville. I want a guy like you. Glory. I went down and preached for the priest. We peeled him off the floor, towed him home every night. That guy was wild. He done got to Brownsville, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he told me, he said, you need to stay a few more nights. I said, I got to be somewhere else. He said, you better hurry back, because as soon as you get back, we'll have another meeting. But he said, if they move me on this island, you toast. Glory. Amen. Y'all need that to understand. What he said was, I'm the only one on this island wants you here. Amen. You know, church, the reality is we've got to get to that place where we understand it's all right to bring Jesus home with us. Could you say amen to that? Amen. He said, I want you to go. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you ain't my denomination. You Jew. I'm not a Jew. Because he was a Jew. But I'm starting a new thing. Amen. What he said was, let's go to your house. He didn't have to be primed. He didn't have to have a certain offering. I'm going to be honest with you, church. If you call one of these TV preachers to pray for you and he tells you how to send him an offering and you send him money, you ought to be sick. glory. Come on, church. If you got to pay the guy to pray for you, I wouldn't want him praying for me for fear he'd be praying to get more money so I could send him some more money. Pray I die so he'd get my insurance. Come on, church. Smile at me. Y'all say, preacher, they ain't that bad. Yes, they are. There are some of them on TV. If you call in their prayer line and say, pray for me, the first thing out of their mouth is, what kind of donation you going to give us? I got news for you, church. If they're that bad off for money, they need to get off TV. Amen. Come on, church. Nod your head. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I believe what God institutes, God will help you pay for, and you ain't got to beg and plead and run your mouth about it. These guys talk about faith. Believe God, he'll provide. And then they get on TV in 20 minutes, beg you to send them some money. Because if you don't send money, we won't be here next week. Where's that faith they was preaching about a while ago? Huh? I had one of them send me a letter telling me the Lord instructed me to send him $100. And I'd get a 100-fold return. I mailed him a letter back. I said, look, I'm an itinerant evangelist myself at the time I was. I don't have the TV cost you do, therefore you need better blessing than me, so you send me the $100 and you take the 100-fold return. I still ain't got my letter from him. He did take me off the mailing list, though. He don't mail me a thing anymore. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Notice, he went, but I noticed what else happened. When they started to Jesus' house, that group that showed up to see something, they still ain't seen it. So all of a sudden, Jesus starts down the road, and they're going with him. And they're running into one another, and they're bumping one another, said they were thronging one another. It'd be like somebody hollering fire, and all y'all trying to get out that door at the same time. Amen. You'd be running over one another, bumping into each other. They're thronging each other, headed to the house. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need some people that's willing to stand up for God. Amen. We're looking for men that are willing to go the extra mile, that are willing to say, hey, I want Jesus in my house. I don't care if it means I got to get up 15 minutes early and pray before I go to work. I don't care if it means I got to spend a little more time trying to get a hold of God to get him in my household. I want God at my house. Come on, church. Amen. We need some men that's got the bravery of Joshua. He said, hey, I don't care what the wicked's doing. And if you read Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers, which you served to the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's time some men got up and said, it's going to happen. Ain't going to be no more junk in this house. We're going to serve God. Ain't going to be no laying out of church on Sunday morning. We're going to the house of God because that's where we belong. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to stop there. I'm feeling a preach. Oh. And the reason I got to stop, I can get myself in bad trouble. I'm going to say it anyway. You got 15-year-olds that can tell you they ain't going to church, something wrong in your house. Hello? 15-year-old ain't old enough to drive, much less make decisions about their eternity. And you're going to let them tell you, I ain't going this morning. I'm staying at the house. There's something wrong in your house. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. I told you, there's going to be people get quiet. I got some people. I love you anyway. But when they get in jail because you let them stay at the house, then don't start whining about, I don't know why they're there. Oh, that's good preaching. Don't fall out with me. Just love me anyway. We want dads that will bring Jesus to the house by leading in the worship to them that are in church. Behold, there was a man named Jairus, ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. What are you talking about? He kneeled at the feet of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him. Amen. Did you hear that? He really gets specific in Matthew. What it says was, he come down and says, I really don't care what the books say. I really don't care what all my theological teaching's telling me. Because I'm telling you, I know everything I'm fixing to do is right against everything I've ever been believed in and everything I've ever known. But I am worshiping you. Because I've come to realize you're the only way, you're the only truth, you're the only life. And can I tell you, some of us need to quit worrying about what we're following and get a hold of the Word of God and realize Jesus Christ is the only way, he is the only truth, he is the only life, and we need to fall in love with him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Could you say amen? Amen. I know it's 12 o'clock, I gotta hurry. Number three, and the last one, he's not ashamed. She saw that he was not ashamed to put the welfare of his child in the hands of Jesus. Mark 5:31. While he yet spake, there came a ruler. Came someone from the ruler's house with a certain man and said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Can you imagine this guy? He's finally got this man headed to his house. They're walking down the street, and right in the middle of going to the house to pray for his daughter, some woman interferes. Y'all ever read that story? Because right in the middle of him going to Jairus' house is when you get the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Little Miss Nobody from nowhere. I mean, it ain't even like she's a big tie pair in the church. She was just this dumb woman sitting on the side of the street that nobody really knows, because we don't have anything to know about. We just know she was there and she was sick. And she jumps up and touches him and stops the whole entourage. And Jesus sitting there talking to her. And his daughter's dying. And all of a sudden, one of the members of his house comes up and says, "Well, your daughter's dead. Ain't no need going no farther." But notice something. Jesus answered. And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." When Jairus got the news that his daughter was dead, he didn't dismiss the Lord. He trusted Jesus to accomplish what he went after him to do. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Some of us need to get to that place where we understand it doesn't matter what the world says. I got a God that's got to talk. And when he talks, then things are going to be different. Come on, church. Amen. The Bible tells us, he said, "Oh, don't worry, just believe." Jairus still believed. And then he did that. He said, "We took him on to the house." Hello? He carried him to the house, and when he got there, church folks were already there. They was bringing in the tater salad and the ham, getting ready for a wake. Come on, church. Y'all know as well as I do. South, we got to have food when somebody dies. Nothing wrong with that. The greatest thing we can do is stand by families when something like that happens. I'm a firm believer in that. Most of y'all know that. One of the worst things ever happens when my dad died and folks from the church didn't bother to come because it was Christmas. It was a bad time to die. And we had to have other people bring us food. In case you ain't figured it out, 30-something years later, I still have to forgive them folks on a regular basis about it. Because I was a member of that church and I'd help them, and all of a sudden nobody shows up. Even the pastor showed up talking about, "I can't even spend Christmas with my family," with somebody calling us home. I was like, "Get out and go back. Who wants you here?" I had to pray about that. Hello? Smile. I'm just being honest with you. Some of y'all wouldn't tell that. I had to hold one of my sisters because she wanted his wife bad. I ain't going to say which one, but y'all met her. And to be honest with you, I wasn't going to hold her much longer because she would have worked on me and then wouldn't got his wife. Glory. But they carried to the house, and what's the first thing Jesus did? He chunked the church people out. He said, "I don't want y'all up here. Y'all don't believe. You're up here bawling because the baby's dead. She's not dead. She is alive. She's just asleep." What the Bible said they done? Said they laughed him to scorn. What kind of idiot have they brought to this house? I mean, we know the girl's dead. He takes Peter, James, and John, the three men of the inner circle, and they head upstairs with the mom and dad. He walks in. One scripture says he speaks to her in an unknown tongue. It's not really an unknown tongue. It's the same tongue he was using while he was hanging on the cross. It is the tongue that they speak in that area. It is the same language you heard if you went to see the Passions of Christ. It's called Aramaic. It's a cross between Hebrew and Arabic. But unless you lived in Galilee, you wouldn't understand that. Jesus spoke in Hebrew most of the time, but he understood this little girl, knew Galilean. And so he hung up the Aramaic. He said, "Talamatha cumin." Amen. Now, if you read in the book of Luke where I read it, Luke, the physician translated it for you. He just said, "Damsel, arise." He walks in, takes her by the hand. You know, he didn't have to hold his nose like he had a headache. You ever gone up to somebody to pray for you in this time? I'm serious. We had one evangelist one time. His wife actually told the people singing to get quiet because he couldn't hear from God while they were singing. Now I'm like, if that's the problem, he ain't going to hear from God when they quit singing. Amen. Hello? Amen. But I'll have them come up. They're going to pray for him and act like they got a headache or something. And Hey, one old guy, he just ran back, knocked daylights out of people. I walked up and he's standing, I hit his head like that, and I looked at him. I said, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you, if you hit me like you did the last guy, I'm gonna bust your nose. For some reason, he didn't pray for me like he did everybody else, and walked off, went and knocked the daylights out of the next guy. Glory. Amen. I wonder how much God was in that swing he had. Come on, church. Smile. Y'all ain't got to come back to church tonight. Let me finish. Glory. Amen. But now notice this. I would that we had dads that would trust Jesus and teach their children to seek the will of God for their lives. Notice what it said in Luke 8:50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Why? Because this was God's plan. Come on, church. Some of you may not understand this, but everybody in this world, every child you got, God's got a plan for them. And if you could just figure out how to get them into that plan and help them find the will of God for their life, it could change. Come on, church. Amen. My whole life, my dad never would go to church, but every time he turned around and said, boy, you need to go to church. You need to get in church. I went to Baptist, I went to Methodist, I went to Nazarene. He didn't care. He just wanted me in church. I never could understand why my dad pushed me to go to church. I finally got saved. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I admitted God called me to preach. I preached my first sermon. Y'all have heard me talk about this. It lasted all of 4 minutes. That's the biggest debacle I ever had in my life. I remember I walked by the pastor and said, I ain't doing this no more. I messed up somewhere. I missed it. I ain't coming back. Next morning, my dad walked up. He said, son, the day you were born, God told me you were going to be a preacher and take my place. And that's why I pushed you. So don't worry about what happened last night. It's going to be okay. You go where God called you to go. I went with have some more dads who, even though they might not know exactly what they're doing, would be steering their kids to seek the will of God for their life so they can walk in the plan God has for them. Dad, what are your children seeing you? Do they see a dad that's not ashamed of Christ? Not ashamed to seek him, to worship him. Not ashamed to commit to Jesus. Do they see somebody who can be like Paul or stand up in the midst of everything saying, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that will believe. Stand with me all over the house. I'm sure in her lifetime, this little girl looked back on this day and was thankful she had a dad who wasn't ashamed to worship God, to seek God, to bring him home. Father, we thank you today, God, for your love and your mercy. God, we ask you, touch this house with your anointing. Move on us with your fire. God, we'll give you praise for that we receive from you. And we ask you, Lord, touch us with your glory. For Master, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, have your way in this house. Amen.